Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, tough one.
Tough one.
Lots of thoughts. First of all, immediate thought, the most recent thought is, as Alan always says, like, great that it was only 13. Like, that's
yes, absolutely. I turned it off after the under four timeout, not wanting to get myself emotionally invested in the scoring margin wars. But when I saw the final score, I was like, okay, that's salvageable for net purposes.
Yeah. Much worse than 13. Second half was obviously the story. Cause the first half I thought was pretty good in a lot of different ways. It was really nice to get 16 points from Iguodaro and Omax. That is 16 points you don't usually count on. In the second half, there was no consistent offensive source, which was really, really the troubling part. Obviously, the defense was also pretty terrible in the second half.
Wisconsin had 55 points in the second half.
Wisconsin to have 55 points is really rough because they don't want to do that, like, by nature, how they play. Like, that's an accident for them. So that,
yeah, and what really, what really was the head scratching to your point about the offense was, I don't know if we saw a single pick and roll action from Kolek and Iguodaro, and that was that was the bread and butter of the first half. That is the reason why we were able to score 31 points in that first half.
I don't know, just
went away from it.
I don't know why Kolek basically ran no action in the entire second half. That was mind blowing to me because, you know, like I said, he vanished, but it didn't seem like, it's not like he played outwardly bad. He just didn't do anything really on offense. Man, it was just really confusing as to why that was like the whole offensive plan. Plus, he was doing a good job harassing their scorers. And then in the second half, he really just sort of faded away. Like, I don't understand why he didn't have a huge involvement in the game plan in the second half. And then I guess
the offensive game plan in the second half really seemed to be take a lot more shots from the outside, which is fine, like, in theory, I guess. But, you know, they started off, Justin Lewis had that monster dunk, and then he had a really good that little finger roll layup, and Morcell had a good two-point jumper, and it just seemed like that was what was clicking. And then from there, it was a ton of three-point shots. And again, I get it, that's statistically the best shot or whatever, but that's not the team's strength at all. And you saw what the strength was against Wisconsin specifically before that. And so, and I don't know if it was just the team settling a little bit, because once Wisconsin started scoring a little bit, it did seem like some players were rushing into the shots a little bit, but it just was a pretty clear difference between what the offense was looking like in the first couple minutes of the second half and most of the first half and what was going on the rest of the game.
It definitely seemed like out of the half, they tried to establish Morcell. He had like three chances. Mm-hmm. He missed two straight, very similar shots before he made a three. So that was one thing. And then they tried to go to Lewis a few times. And then I think really kind of where the turning point happened is the offense really fell out of sync when Lewis came out of the game with his third foul, which I guess I understand. Ashaka has proved so far, substitution wise, to be definitely a foul, pay attention to foul trouble guy. Because I don't know if he has played a single player against the foul trouble situation yet, like with two fouls late in the half, or
right, like Quest sat out for the entire first half with two fouls, which it was because of Iguodara's play. But I figured even if Iguodara was equivalent to Quest, he would have sat the whole time. And that seems to be the idea with the amount of depth that Xhaka has, is that you don't have to worry too much when an individual player has foul trouble because there's people in line and we don't have to push the envelope there.
Yeah, and well, to be clear, he absolutely wasn't coming in even if Iguodara wasn't playing great. They would have gone
right.
100% they would have gone small with Lewis at the five, or however else they would have devised to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, just not the second half, really just not up to par, and nothing really to take away from that second half that was at all positive, with the
exception. Something I also noticed was the amount of and one opportunities that
wasn't good.
Wisconsin was getting, like, when we talk about the hashtag choose violence mantra, I feel like a reasonable extension of that is when you foul someone, don't let them get an easy bucket, particularly Brad Davidson, who I felt like he got like three of them.
That hashtag is not officially university licensed or approved, we should say. I don't think the Be the Difference in Jesuit Values University is going to be hashtag choose violence, but
that's true.
I don't think that's not officially licensed or endorsed.
No. But still, like, the idea of that happening on defense, the team definitely seemed a lot softer once they saw that Johnny Davis could do whatever he wants, even if they were doing everything they could, and they were trying everything with him.
Yeah. I think so. Obviously, that's probably the biggest takeaway from the game, is that when the game was still sort of close, Johnny Davis was unstoppable. And frankly, I think, you know, there's a certain level of unstoppable that he was today, where he would have gotten his in many different ways. Like, I don't know what his floor was today, but it wasn't low, because he just played really, really well. But I think Daryl Morcel was underwhelming on Davis. Really, the guy is supposed to be your defensive stopper. He's played Wisconsin tons and tons of times before, obviously, like, hasn't played Johnny Davis a ton, but you know, he knows how to play against Wisconsin. He's your experienced veteran leader, and he's supposed to really come out and, you know, the one thing he's supposed to be able to be really solid at is on ball defense. And he was not effective on Davis, and Davis was able to really, you know, the team doesn't really have a backup option to Daryl Morcel to guard a guy like Davis. They tried Omax Prosper at one point. I remember there's a really significant possession where Lewis is guarding Davis, and Lewis does a great job bullying him off the block. This was end of the first half, and Davis just throws in like a ridiculous, like, fade away in the key. It was ridiculous shot. But so they tried a number of different things, and specifically in the second half, when Davis was really heating up, they put Omax on the floor to guard him, and Omax didn't have the I guess lateral quickness really to guard him one-on-one like that.
That crossover on this going into the step back is the image I have in my mind of
Max
not being able to keep up.
That was pretty flagrant on Davis, as far as just like kind of stank facing him after he did it too. And also, like, there's something to be said for a college basketball player who genuinely does not seem able to miss within like 15 feet if he's unguarded. Like, you saw like some of the shots Cam Jones is throwing up there where he's just like, you know, like hoping and praying it goes in the basket wherever he shoots from. But then, like, Davis just, like, anytime he gets open inside of a 15-foot radius, like, it's a layup. So there's definitely something to be said for that kind of scoring ability and just bucket making. And I know somebody said that, you know, I think it was, I'm trying to remember what this guy's name is. I think it's Lucas Harkins. He's like a Butler guy that tweets a lot about the Big East.
Lucas Harkins.
And he was saying, like, the Badgers better start to think about how they're going to replace Johnny Davis because he's not going to be there all that long. And, I mean, it's really hard to argue. The only thing that would keep him sort of moored would be the system sort of, you know, tamping down his abilities because of how fast they want to play. But I just think, yeah, I totally agree. He's a pro prospect, and it's crazy to see Wisconsin have a guy like that because it's really hard to play as disciplined as Marquette would have had to play that game and absorb sort of the, like, 12 to 15 point Johnny Davis run at the beginning of the half there. Like, that was really difficult.
Right. And I mentioned this on Twitter, when you have a opponent that really doesn't turn the ball over, like Wisconsin had only 11 turnovers today. And when you couple that with a player that can just go get a bucket if he needs to, that makes the offensive droughts that Marquette is a little bit more want to have way more impactful. Because from, like, I don't know, probably the 18 minute mark to the 10 minute mark, it was just, all right, let's go take the first shot. It misses. We can't really get an offensive rebound, and there goes any momentum that we have. And, like, that was Cam Jones and Tyler Kolek and Justin Lewis just not really being able to hit anything from the outside. Like, yeah, Cam and Kolek combined for a quick math, 3 for 15 from the floor and 2 of 10 from three.
Yeah, wasn't a good
that's
game.
That's not going to do it.
Wasn't a good game from Cam Jones. Should not have played 31 minutes. That's too much for him the way he was playing today.
Especially with how Joplin was playing in the first part of the first half. I am shocked that he did not get more playing time in the second half.
Yeah, Joplin's a guy who needs to play more for sure, but he also needs to play strategic minutes where he can be a guy that is one of the dudes on the court that could shoot, because I don't think he's a guy that should play anonymous minutes, so to speak, where he's on the court, but there are, like, three other dudes who are the more of a focus for the offense. So I kind of like how he's being used right now, but I definitely think he needs to be used more, especially if you get behind and you need a guy to just sort of throw in a couple of baskets. Like, he's probably one of your most naturally gifted scorers, if not your most. But yeah, I mean, I just think they needed more Lewis today. The unfortunate thing is he turned the ball over so much. Like, 6 turnovers is a ton for a non-guard.
Ooh,
yeah.
I did not know that it was that many. That is,
yeah, it was just, it was unfortunate because the way they were going to get back into the game was to get him going and get him moving and getting looks from three. But the way that it ended up playing out is he had just one or two or three spots where right when he was starting to get going, he would, like, dribble it off his foot or he'd lose the ball. And that was it would derail his momentum, or he'd, like, commit an offensive foul and have to sit. And it just, like, it unfortunately, they couldn't keep going to him over and over again, and they kind of needed to because they needed some rhythm, and they need more than 9 minutes from Kerkweth, even if Oso's playing as well as he did in the first half. Like, Kerr's a really good on-court leader. He makes a lot of smart plays. He adds a lot off the lob. He's more consistent than Oso on those kind of plays. Although Oso, I mean, again, the first half from Oso was so solid, and it's just unfortunate it spiraled so much. Really, just genuinely, they could not get a stop. That's 55.
Yeah, those few plays where, and this happened a little bit during the Jackson State game too, which we haven't talked about, but there are times when the press, like, the back line defenders just straight up miss a guy going vertical down the court and either get an easy layup or a foul drawn on them. And it's pretty frustrating.
And credit to Wisconsin. I mean, they did a good job of finding about five or six possessions where they just slipped the press really quickly. And that's definitely one of those things that when the press gets put on tape so much, I think, and obviously the press is on tape because Shock has been playing like this for however long, but I think there needs to be sort of backline and, you know, other types of adjustments in the press. Like, the press definitely works. It's hard to press Wisconsin, I think, because they just play slow. But, you know, there were turnovers and there were spots where the press was doing its job at times. But I just think
that
it was too inconsistent. And, you know, the turnover total wasn't a ton, but just like the turnovers in the first half and then just like not really shooting all that well and just like not doing enough from an execution perspective. It was not good.
Right. And part of what I liked about the press in the first half in particular was that, you know, there were some of those quote unquote breakthrough press moments that Wisconsin had where they didn't get a turnover and it looked like they had, you know, the man advantage on the other side of the court. But some of those individual defenders, like particularly Oso at the rim, would just get a little bit of annoyance in the way of those drivers and they'd miss those transition opportunities. And so if that's something that, you know, was able to at least continue on into the second half, they can at least cut into some of those Wisconsin points. And that was something, I think, secondary to Oso's individual performance, that transition defense in the first half was probably the other best part about it and something that I think could carry over into future games.
Yeah. I mean, I thought again, Oso played really well. All told, I mean, it was a great game from him. It was tough in the second half because again, like, I don't know why Kolick wasn't trying to get him going. Like, why go play something that wasn't working? Also, you need some guard to be effective offensively, and you know, Morsell. It's hard to like look at the totality of Morsell's nine games so far and really decide like what kind of player he is overall. Like is he the start to the season he had, or is he sort of how he's calmed down a bit? But I just, he needs to be, you know, a leveling player for them, and he needs to not make a lot of mistakes. And second half defensively, he was just like, there wasn't any sort of consistency from him on the defensive end. So I think that was a real issue. And, you know, like if there are in a big game like that, he's your guy that you need to show up. And just, unfortunately, I don't really think he looked like he was super up to the task today. I mean, like the stretch where they committed four fouls at the start of the second half, he was just like,
that was brutal,
bothered as to what was going on. And it was just not, it was really frustrating. And then from that point is when Davis really took the game over for a good, like 8 minute stretch. And that really buried him. God, Wisconsin, I don't believe in them overall. I don't think they have enough depth to be a consistently good team this year, but they have five guys who are really solid.
Yeah. I think they only had like six bench points, and
yeah,
if anyone gets in foul trouble, that's an issue. But you know, Tyra Wall and was Stephen Crowell, is that how you pronounce it?
Crowell
is, I think he's going to be a problem a little bit. He's really good.
He's like if Nate Reavers had, you know, actual hands instead of meat cleavers and just sort of knocked the ball around a bunch. Like, he's got actual.
That is a very good observation. Yes. Yeah. I fully agree with that. Yeah.
Nate Reavers was just there's never really put it together. But this dude, like the stretch he had when Marquette took the lead early second half, and he just was like backing down on Quethin and Godaro and just like tossing in these little baby hooks. It was like, oh man, this guy has got really good touch, and he's already got range too. And Chucky Hepburn looks really solid, and you know,
very unfortunately, Chucky Hepburn, the combination of his hair and his name is very sadly very cool.
Yeah. And then Brad played well, and Brad didn't have to be the guy because Davis is the guy. So it's a really, and Wall's fine. And he hit a bad game, but he's played well this season. So that five is just really solid for Wisconsin. I don't think you can really even mess with it.
Again, like in terms of like the win loss binary, I'm not pissed. Like Wisconsin's a good team. It's a road game. Like I wasn't expecting a win, but the way in which they seem to fall apart in the second half when over the course of the Illinois through West Virginia games, it seemed to be a calling card of the team that they were not going to give up. They were going to really fight back whenever they got punched in the first half. That seems to have dwindled a little bit with this game and the St. Bonaventure game. And, you know, Morcel, he's a good scorer. He can definitely still be solid. I do still really love his ability to find those crevices in the mid-range and get points there. But, you know, if we're expecting him to be the go-to guy, I don't think that's going to be what we get out of him this year. And it's kind of getting to the point where Tyler Cullick's shooting woes are turning less into a Caden Reinhardt situation and more of a situation where we might have to adjust what we expect out of him from the scoring department.
Yeah. I mean, from a shooting perspective, I mean, I think he needs to keep doing his driving and dishing thing, because I don't think he's going to be able to be a volume shooter. I think he needs to, you know, shoot like two or three or four of those a game and make one or two. Like that's going to be his like deep shooting. I mean, his real value is what he was doing in the first half, where he was, you know, slicing and dicing and, you know, getting Oso Godaro really good looks. And when he can make a skip pass to a shooter, it's really solid. But yeah, I just don't think, especially in the second half, the sort of game plan and the togetherness didn't really keep it together there, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's a shame.
All right, I'm going to put out a tweet to get some questions in, but let's take some questions here. Give me 2 seconds as I switch that over. Andy, if you can hear me, retweet this that I'm tweeting. Thank you. Cool. Okay. Let's.
While you're doing that, yeah, I want to briefly get on. I think I talked about this in the first space that we did, but God Almighty, do I absolutely hate what Fox is doing with the broadcast crews calling the games from home right now? It's really bad. Like even from the perspective of like Jim Jackson's mic level was louder than whoever the play-by-play guy was.
Aaron Goldsmith, Mariners play-by-play announcer.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. But yeah, their mic volumes are off. Their voices are coming in at a much different louder than like the stadium noise, which is what I would much rather hear. And then
the score bug also sucks.
Yeah. The score bug sucks. And you know, Goldsmith was just completely like, I don't know, he went to take a piss or something like that in the middle of the game in his kitchen bathroom or something like that. And it just sucks so bad. And I really, hate it. And like again, like if we're trying to do that for Marquette Jackson State, okay, sure, we can we can use the COVID excuse for that, but for a rivalry game on all caps Fox,
yeah,
at 11:30, like let's have a little bit of decency with that, honestly, because this is just it's brutal to watch.
Okay, let's kick it to some questions here. I'm not sure which member of the nation is on here, but they are extremely welcome to unmute and weigh in here.
Hey, so it's the member of the nation not responsible for the loss today.
This would be
Eric. And
thank God Nate isn't here.
Yeah.
What's up?
0-2 in the Kohl Center without me, by the way. Mm. But whatever. Hey, love the Kate and Reinhardt, shout out. You guys had it earlier. But, hey, and it may be a little bit of my fault today. I think we are now 0-2 on games that I watch more than like 5 minutes. So it's not great.
You should stop watching.
So I may need to stop watching Marquette again. So
is that your entire feedback? Is that like the reason that you just need to stop watching Marquette?
I think that the outcome today was solely because of actions taken by us, and we take full responsibility.
Yeah, I appreciate this. Just came on to apologize.
Yeah, it's on us. Nate.
A big fat mea culpa.
Yeah, oh well. But hey, love what you guys are doing. Keep going on. I just needed to get that off my chest.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for your delightful input there, Eric. greatly appreciate hearing from you.
No, we need a guy who can score. That would be nice.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there's one or two of those guys that just aren't there yet, but are coming along.
Yeah. Need someone to get hot. Love the defense.
In the first half.
Sort of. Yeah. No, I think the big takeaway is that I need to stop watching again. And,
yeah, no, that's definitely the takeaway.
Nate needs to stop going into the Badger student section and
yeah.
Yeah, whatever. All right, well, you guys get some questions. And
thank
some
you,
feedback.
Thank you. I appreciate this. What a wonderful appearance.
Yep, it's this one's on us, guys.
Yeah, no, it's good. Thank you for taking responsibility, Eric.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, see ya.
I just saw this also for, shout out Marquette Nation. For a 12-minute stretch, this is via JG Trends on Twitter, for a 12-minute stretch, Wisconsin had an average of 1.4 points per possession or above the entire time, which is not good.
No.
Very not good.
Bad. Bad, bad, bad. The defense in the second half was just really, really poor. Everyone who wants to ask a question, please request, and then I will put you on. Seabass, while I got you here, you got anything?
Yeah, no, I just replied to your
Oh, you did?
Your tweet. Yeah, no, I it feels like one of those games that Marquette will bounce back from pretty hard. It was kind of fuel them hard to bounce back against K-State. Just because, like, you know, the shock of what I know about him and how he's kind of led this team to the 7-2 start now. I think kind of getting beat pretty badly in the second half will carry on to K-State. These guys will be just fueled to go out there and just shoot the lights out.
Yeah, the K-State game is interesting. I'm going to mute you, Seabass. The K-State game is interesting because I think it's one of those games that could go either way, because K-State is very K-State again this year, where they're like not great, not bad, play slow, are good at defense, not great at offense. Like it's a very similar team, and you know, obviously not a great showing today in the first true road game for the Golden Eagles. So a second true road game on the back of this is certainly an interesting challenge. up to number one, by the way, Ben, in average possession length.
I literally just saw that on the route to Gary the K-State KenPom page.
Third
thank God.
In the country and shortest average possession length of any team in the country. What a time to be alive and what a time.
The good thing though about K-State so far is and I've watched a couple of their games. They don't have that big behemoth shot blocker that they normally have. And I'm looking at their KenPom defensive sets, and it seems like it's kind of confirming that observation where they're not getting a lot of block shots on defense, which from what I've noticed out of Marquette so far, when those little pick and roll actions happen and either Kolek or Mitchell or Jones decides to, you know, get to the rim and try and shoot a layup, a good amount of those shots have a significant risk of getting blocked. So given that, I feel like there's a good potential for a store to get right game against Kansas State. And I'm pissed that it's during the middle of the week. Otherwise I'd make the 2.5 hour trek to go over there and impact it in the way that I can. But I feel a little bit confident in at least the next game going into the upcoming stretch, where it's still pretty brutal for the next five games.
Yeah, I agree. I just challenged Nate Marzion to come in the space after he tweeted a video of himself putting a Buck shirt over his Beat Bucky shirt, which is just so like doing it for the bit.
Very, very on brand.
Derek's been waiting a while. Let's put him on. He's been asking to ask a question. I hope he still has his question. Sorry if it took us a while to go ahead and unmute if you still have a question. Oh, Alan wants to come in as well. That's good. We'll have some things to talk about. Derek, do you want to hop off mute here and see if I can unmute him? I don't know, maybe he was just stuck at requesting and just didn't go on. Oh, there you go. Oh.
You want me to talk? I can talk.
Yeah, go ahead. What's up?
I can text Nathan and make him call you guys.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. No, I just tweeted at him. If he wants to come on, he can come on. He's being anyway, go ahead. What's up? What did you want to talk about?
My only comment is the difference between also first half, second half. Did he have a shot?
Well, I mean, like, they didn't even try to get him the ball, right? Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, he's not a guy that can just be like, hey, I'm going to score. Like, they need to do something to, like, get him the ball. And they genuinely just, like, didn't try to get him the ball, which was just so – and it was part of what the sort of invisibility of Kolek in the second half was, just, like, Kolek was creating so much for Oso. And, I mean, when was the hook shot out of the timeout? That was still first half, right? Where Oso like hit the back rim and cushioned it in. I think that was still first half.
I think that was still first half. Yeah.
He was looking super gassed at that point. But right. Then after that timeout, they designed a play for him. So, I mean,
yeah,
nothing in the second half at all.
The game plan in the second half, definitely, like, I don't really know why they stopped trying to get Kolek. Maybe it was a thing that Wisconsin was doing defensively, but there was a possession at one point. I don't know if it was first half or second half where Marquette was doing a bunch of handoffs to try to get like the edge around the rim on Wisconsin. And it ended up with a Lewis layup that was really well contested and missed. And it was like, okay, this is a team that definitely, you know, plays really good defense. And it kind of is here to make things difficult for them. So it could have been more of a reflection of what Wisconsin was doing defensively. But yeah,
I just scrolled through the play by play of the second half, and Iguodaro had two shot attempts in the second half, and they were both on putback attempts from previously missed shots. So again,
like the thing
they did not get him anything.
The thing that was working, they just like didn't keep doing, which was just like terrible. All right, let's throw Alan on. Thanks, Derek. You got anything else?
Nope. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, have a good one. Okay, here comes the Alan will always have something interesting to say about this. So what do you got, Alan? And where are you coming to us from this time? Is there a we having an issue with this? I don't see any audio. Alan, can you hear us? Oh no.
I feel like we're like a rush hour radio station right now.
Oh dude, that's what this is. Like that's why
some calls.
I'm a big fan of like the format, because that is what it is. It's like what it's designed to be. It's phenomenal. By the way, update from Joe McCann of Scrambled Eggs' four-year-old niece's birthday party. It's a princess themed party and it has begun, and it is a madhouse, man, which was crucial update here. So I don't know why Alan can't talk, but I wonder if that we ran into some sort of issue with what we were having from why you couldn't speak at the beginning of this, but that's unfortunate.
If you want some potentially fun news, Ole Miss, our previous foe, defeated Memphis.
Saw that
today.
I saw that. Yeah, that was making me happy. Okay, let's try Alan one more time, and if it doesn't work, we'll go to Tom as well, who has been on for a while here. Oh, all right. Cross your fingers. Any sort of audio? Oh, there we go. That's a mute sign. That's positive. Maybe. Yes. Yes, Alan. Let's go. We got it.
I'm having about as much luck getting on here as we have.
Hell yes, Alan. Again, already a stellar background noise performance from you. It's what we come to expect. Are you walking the dog? It sounds like
I am absolutely walking the
dog. Yeah, I heard a collar jangling, so it sounded like a dog walk. It's great. It's good.
Yeah. I don't have any poop left in me after what Marquette did, but they laid a turn. Now I'm giving the dogs a chance to do the same.
That's great. Good. Well said, and thank you for saying that in a way that we can publish on the podcast.
I tried as much as I could.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, it was a fun 22 or so minutes. I thought that we looked pretty decent early on. Just too much Davis in the second half, not enough of anything offensively for us, not a great game from Justin. It just felt like nothing was working after seeing this team so many times come back and be able to make those second half runs, that I think was the most disappointing part for me, was thinking at halftime, we're in pretty good shape. We can make a run. We can get back in this. And instead, the exact opposite. It's just ugly, not much good to say about it.
No, it wasn't good. And nothing really worked in the second half. Like, it was about the worst case scenario possible. Second half, Wisconsin scoring 55 points in a half is so absurd. And not even what they're trying to do. I don't know why there wasn't. It's what we just talked about. I don't know why they stopped going Colicanoso when that was working so well in the first half. And, you know, they tried to get Lewis going. Lewis was kicking the ball away too much. Morcell couldn't really get anything going. There just wasn't any sort of continuity. And there's just a lot of chucking because Wisconsin's really good defense and they couldn't get any stops. So just about as bad as it could get.
Alan, to your point again, there were a couple times where it did seem like Marquette had the makings of maybe possibly trying to get back into it. There was one particular moment I had in mind. I think it was Elliott made a corner three and then Wisconsin threw the ball away on the backcourt press. And it brought it down to single digits after Wisconsin had gone on this pretty big consistent run. And then we just laid an egg on offense again. So yeah, to back up both those points, that's kind of the frustration that I have right now.
Alan, hang out and go ahead.
I was just going to say, when we got it to 11 and then Davison hit that sideways running
ball. Yes, that was,
It was just the absolute dagger. I felt all
the blood rush out.
The one he had already hit twice in the game, and they should have probably been able to figure that that's his shot. So we could probably assume that he's going to do that. Alan, hang out on mute, and then if you have anything that comes up when someone says something, we always like your insights randomly. So if something occurs to you, feel free to weigh in. Let's get Marquette Twitter legend. I don't know. Legend's probably too nice. Nate Marzion on here to give us the perspective from what it was like in the stadium there today. Nate, I know I goaded you to come on because I didn't actually view your act as heinous, putting on the Buck shirt over the Beat Bucky shirt. I totally understand the pivot there, and it was well planned by you. But you want to hop off mute here and see if you can share your thoughts on what it was like in the arena?
Yeah, you can hear me, right?
Yeah, yep.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, first half was fun, and first half, me and my friends were all like, okay, this is like how this rivalry should be. We're playing well. Both teams are into it and everything. Second half, it wasn't like it felt a little bit like the 2019 game for us, where the whole last like 8 to 10 minutes, we just felt like we wanted to get out of there. People around us were nice enough; like it wasn't, they're giving us some crap, nothing crazy. But yeah, at the under four, I think is when I put on the shirt because I mean, at that point the game was over, and then I quickly did put a Marquette sweatshirt on.
Thank you. That's so brave of you. We appreciate that.
Nate, did anyone try to convince you that they actually don't care about us? They actually don't think this is a rivalry.
It wasn't like that. It was actually more people just like actually talking crap and stuff. I don't think there was a lot of I had a few people talking about the foot, like we don't have a football team and like Marquette's not a fun school, Marquette's a little brother, stuff like that. But it wasn't like we don't care about Marquette.
Yeah. The little brother chants at the end were kind of interesting because I think Wisconsin tends to take a policy of non-acknowledgement whenever Marquette beats them or is competitive with them. So it was interesting. I don't know. Like, it's not like Michigan calling Michigan State little brother in football, because that's like actually sort of defined as a rivalry. It's Wisconsin tries to like have it both ways, where like when they do have the upper hand, it's like, oh, like this is like your little brother. Like, and then when it's like Marquette has the upper hand and it's like, oh, we don't think about you at all, we're a football school. It's kind of like,
yeah, exactly.
The back and forth. It's a little frustrating and kind of cheap.
Yeah, I've always said that, where I'm like, they act like they don't care, but then as soon as they win, they then act like they do care. And then it's like, I don't know, just, like you said, they take it both. They try to have it both ways. And we weren't like, I mean, we weren't getting into it with people too much. Obviously, first half, when we had, you know, good moments, when we went up like 4 or 5, we were just like hearing and stuff, like being like a little bit in people's faces, but nothing over the top. So I don't think people were too angry at us. It was more just kind of giving us crap, just for the sake of giving us crap.
Well,
there were a ton of Marquette fans in the student section, but I think there was a few scattered around.
You're a Twitter celebrity, so you have to be responsible for your actions. So I'm glad you weren't getting it into anyway.
Yeah, I didn't do anything.
You, Giannis would be so disappointed in you if you. Yeah, you gotta stick up for the act like Giannis would. WWGD.
Exactly. I did have some people like behind me. This was again like at the under four. Like I think it was when I put the shirt on. So people were like laughing, and some people were just like started to like, oh, like go home, blah, blah, blah. And like some people were yelling, tweet about it, which is
funny. Tweet about it.
Okay, that's good.
That's a uniquely good insult, because like that does mean like you're being recognized from Twitter, but also you're being thoroughly owned at the same time.
Yeah, I know. I was like, I laughed at that. I was like, yeah, okay. And those whole last 8 to 10 minutes of just waiting for the game to end, it was like, I'm not gonna argue with people. I'm not gonna get it. Like, we're taking it home. It's like, just take it.
We got more good Amarian Ellis minutes out of that though, and I love Amarian Ellis minutes.
Yeah,
I'm kind of becoming the jealous girlfriend meme with Stevie Mitchell and Amarian Ellis.
I finally tried to notice him today, because often like he's been playing in some of those quote unquote unimportant minutes, so I haven't as actively tried to pay attention to what he does as much, but when he was in for that brief second where he just immediately had a couple deflections. And I don't know if other people noticed this, but it went to the TV timeout and it was Marquette's ball. And whoever was holding on to the ball for Wisconsin, Amarian just like bear swatted it out of his hands and said, "Mine," and then handed it to the ref. A very Theo John type move there.
I love Stevie. I'm not trying to slight Stevie. Stevie had a couple of really good plays on defense today, but Stevie's offensive game right now is very, very much shades of a scrawnier Derek Wilson at the moment. Kind of just unable to shoot free throws, really like not a whole lot of touch around the rim, and like very athletic and able to, you know, make plays and get to shots, but not really able to finish them off. And
he doesn't really rack up in the assist numbers either. I think he does a pretty decent job at, like, you know, just facilitating the offense, being like the game manager type, but it doesn't really show up in the assist numbers. And I don't know if that's indicative of my eyes not really noticing much, or if that's just something that's going to come through eventually.
We just had like a really weird spike where like a bunch of people went in. Nate, did you like retweet this or something? Like, I'm not really paying attention because like we just had like a bunch of people hop in like while you were talking, like more people than we've had like by like a long shot. And then anyway, super, super weird and random.
If I join it, does it then like
go? Oh, that could be, you know what? That could be what it is. It could be like
your name's on the header right now.
Yeah.
Or your obvious on the header right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. And people who follow you are probably like seeing it. That's definitely what it was. Gosh, such an influencer. Thank you for gracing us with your presence.
Before I'm gonna hop off in a second, but
yeah.
Do you know what? I don't know if you guys already mentioned it, but do you know what Wisconsin shot in the second half? Because I know at one point we looked at it was like 16 of 22 they were at.
Shot in the second half. Yeah, I can probably figure that out. They
I just was like looking at it. I was like, I remember what they were. Someone had what they had in the first half.
They shot over 50% for the game.
Because in the first half, I don't think they shot like 30-something.
Yeah, so no, it was.
Yeah, the first half was not that good from them.
It was probably, I don't have it on the box score I have up right now, but it was probably, Ken Paul might have it. Hold on.
I'm going to see Torvik.
Yeah, Torvik's probably got it. Either way, they were over 50% of the game, which is pretty, in contrast to what they did in the first half, like obviously that's quite good. Nate, thank you. This was great. Thank you for joining us and randomly spiking us. Andy just requested, so I think we have to put Andy on because we're like,
he owns us.
We're obligated as the loner of our name on the pod. Were you going to volunteer the stat of what they shot? Is that why you requested? Oh, Andy.
Hey, guys.
Yep.
Okay, sorry about that. I was at a stoplight and I saw the unmute thing. Okay, so I don't remember off the top of my head, but to answer the question, it's in the recap if you guys want to surf over there and find it.
Oh,
plug.
Yeah, okay, head over to anonymouseagle.com.
Yeah.
Right there.
Anonymouseagle.com. Nate, tweet the article from your influencer account.
At the bottom of the recap. But I don't remember what it exactly was, but it is about as insane as you think it is.
Oh God. Don't want to see it. I'm going for it right now.
With 303 to play, the Badgers had shot 70% from the field, 56 behind the arc.
Oh man.
For effective field goal of 80%.
70. I think that's the whole second half. I don't think that's even the qualifier of 303 to play, because I think if you read the sentence back, it's 70%.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
70% is a lot. Yeah, that's gross. That's really gross. Very unfair.
Ew.
Tom, you've been.
Includes the final 3 minutes where it was 13-3 for Marquette.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's
gross.
Really bad. It's really, really bad. It's not good on all fronts. Tom, you've been hanging out wanting to ask a question. Throw you on here.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah, that was the goal.
Especially the moment of silence at
the top with the mic troubles. I thought that was really good. Well, we just kind of stole my Oklahoma City just now, but as a moment of optimism, Ellis, I've been really watching him since I think after the Illinois game, he was on the transfer watch. I'm worried that he might, you know, and I just like seeing him have a role. And now my optimism is going to focus towards Stevie. I just hope he gets more time out there.
Yeah.
And allow him to work through it now, work through it this season, and, you know, for going forward. But so my optimism was I totally loved those deflections by Ellis and how he just came in right away, made havoc, got out, and then he helped our net. He's the one who really helped us with our net standing with those threes.
Yep.
So that's the optimism. I hope to see Stevie work through this year. You give him chances. And I'm going to go drink now. So, guys, I'll have a great day.
There you go.
Tom, wait, real quick question. What is this transfer watch thing that you speak of? I don't think I've heard of that.
No, it's not a thing. That was someone.
Oh, okay, okay.
Base of, are we worried? Who are we worried that is going to transfer out who's not getting playing time?
And oh, okay, okay. I follow you. Yeah, yeah.
We've been all, you know, Rojo triggers of losing every year. The thing is, Shaka's really good at letting the 12th man know he's important, but I wanted to see it. And I thought Chop also really stepped up. He's getting better every game.
Oh, I love watching him play. He's so good.
Mm-hmm. Anyone needs to be watching those YouTube series that they're putting on. That's why I don't call him a job. But I feel cool because it's birthday. I don't call him a job. So those are really good.
I think Jop is just a cool name. I'm with it.
Oh yeah, better than David.
Yeah,
right. Guys,
better than David. Yes, correct. Thanks, Tom.
And
Alan,
to Tom's point.
Hold on, I want to kick to Alan quick.
Oh, Alan, yeah.
Were you the one in the space earlier this season that said Chaka, like, even though he like does a really good job of ingratiating his culture, like has had like the 10th and 11th guy transfer a lot in his time?
Actually, I would say more so the opposite with him. I did a Crack Sidewalks article on, and in his time at Texas, I was just trying to compare him to similar time frames with Wojo and Buzz,
which
time they spent here. He put, I believe, more players in the NBA than he did in the transfer portal. That includes guys that he came in that were there when he was already coming in. He's done a great job of building that culture and retaining the people that he had. So having a team this young, I think it's almost inevitable that we'll see some transfers, but I don't think that it's going to be what we would have expected under Wojo, where you'd think, okay, once we get to summer, three names are going to be gone for sure. We don't know who they are. But, you know, people are going to leave. I don't feel that way about this regime. I think that they have a better sense on how to retain guys. And like I believe Tom was saying, you know, letting everyone know that they're important, that they have a role, even when you're further down the pecking order.
Yeah, good. All right, makes sense. I remember that.
And what I think some probably paint touches mentioned this a few days ago, but Shaka had a post-game conference against either St. Bonaventure's or Jackson State, one of those teams, but he mentioned that Oso was very, very close to entering the transfer portal as well, and it was Shaka who ended up convincing him to come back because, you know, Oso spent his entire freshman year stapled to the bench, which seems to be more and more of a head scratcher every single day. And so if Jock is able to keep a bench warmer like that, who clearly has talents, to convince him to stay at Marquette and convince him that he'll have a role and then follow through on that, then that's a really good sign for potential project guys like Ellis and Joplin.
Andy, do you have something or did you just unmute on accident?
I muted on purpose to fill in on that. It's not that Shaka convinced him, convinced Oso to stay. Mm-hmm. The way Shaka phrased that specifically was Oso was, quote, right up against it as far as leaving or staying. He was, like, Dawson was apparently his roommate, his best friend. And apparently the deal was Oso, and this is the way Shaka explained it. This is his words. I'm just paraphrasing. Oso walked into Shaka's office. office and said, I like it here. I like it at Marquette. I want to help you build whatever you're going to build here.
Yeah. Thank you for filling that in. So, that's great.
And part of this might be, this is going to like sound really weird. Homer has mentioned this on the radio once.
Mm-hmm.
Oso's not a sophomore academically.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he apparently came in with a ton of AP credits.
Oh, my God. Same.
At some point, he was bordering on junior year status by the end of last year.
Hell yeah, love that. He's going to be like Chris Otule with 7 degrees.
That's a great tidbit. I love the way that Shaka phrased that.
Just to be able to like finish 4 years of eligibility, he's going to almost have to enroll in grad school or get a double major. It sounds
love
like.
That. That's good though. That's
wild, but like okay, cool. Dude.
That's be the difference in action. Yeah, that's what we want to see. Just, be the difference. Like, play forever.
I don't know what his major is, and I don't know what his interests are, whatever have you. But like, if he wants to stay here, because I think Shaka mentioned this too at some point. Oso feels he likes the academic challenge that he's getting at Marquette.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for him.
The the accrued credits has a strong whiff of comm major, but we'll see. Oh, you know what? Majoring in business. Congratulations to Oso. He actually has a real major. Good for him.
Good job.
That's great. Okay, we're around an hour here, I think we're slowing down, so I think we're going to probably put a button on this here. But again, appreciate everyone who hung out with us today. This was great, and we were able to record it as a podcast, which is a huge breakthrough for the squad, so we don't actually have to record another one of these. But thank you so much for joining the space, and we will hopefully do one of these another time soon, probably. Depends what the UCLA game looks like, but we could
throw
one together next weekend for that, depending on what everyone's Saturday plans look like. But thanks everyone again for joining us, and if you want to hear back any of the stuff we said, feel free to hop in on Apple Podcasts and check out the Anonymous Eagle podcast once this goes up, probably tomorrow. So thanks everyone for hopping in.
Thanks everyone.
Ben, you got anything else you want to go? We're still recording.
No, I love this format. Like, honestly,
that's
like,
great. I had a great time with it. I think the next step, maybe don't want to make Andy commit to this, but given what happened with when Nate joined the space there, I think we should probably try to figure out doing this from the mothership account one of the next times here, because we had genuinely, I pointed this out, but we had about it was a lower number, I think, because it's Saturday, we lost and people want to do other things with their lives, and then Nate popped on, and like he said, it probably popped on top of his followers timeline that he was in this.
Oh, actually, no, you do get, I just remembered this because for the brief time that Alan was speaking, I got a notification saying Alan Bukowski is speaking on this Twitter space. And you can click on that and it takes you right there. So I think that's probably it.
That's the move. And I think that's kind of going to be where we're at next time. But so probably next pod comes Sunday or Monday after UCLA, depending on our timeline. And we appreciate everyone joining in. And this was another lovely time and unfortunate result, but just a great time hanging out and chatting with everybody. So yeah. I'll talk to you guys next time.